B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk soft and out of town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey,
Murray.
Gasper! Hey, Murray. Gasper! Hey, Murray. All right, Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is Tim McCone in for Murray. We do have Chris Gasper. I'm not sure what Joe Murray was doing before this, but he just left these headphones on maximum volume and blew out my ears, so I appreciate that, Joe.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time. We should call this show Anchors Away.
Yeah.
We have two very tired, cranky sports anchors here.
Just living the dream,
just
working on Christmas
dream,
night.
Working yeah, Christmas absolutely. Night, absolutely. Producing our own sports cast, just comparing notes.
There you go. There you go. Celtics looked good yesterday, though, so that we had that going for us, right?
Yeah. Yes, we did. At least they played, yeah. You know. It was good.
Can I tell you what's the most frustrating thing about that game is yesterday? And we'll get
sure.
into a bunch of this coming up in the noontime hour when we have the Celtics hour here on 98.5
we'll really
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Celtics show. First one of the year.
Kyrie Irving, probably my least favorite athlete of the last, maybe ever, honestly. And I think there's a real chance he wins his second championship. That Brooklyn team is loaded.
Yeah, and he's engaged. And I'll tell you, I understand why people don't like Kyrie. But he is fantastic to watch.
He's awesome.
I mean, I love watching him as a basketball purist. And he put on a show yesterday. He really did with the 37 points. I thought, here's an interesting stat from the third quarter, McCone. Everyone's going to talk about Durant, and he took that game over with the 16 points.
Yep.
But they scored 35 points in the third quarter, and Kyrie scored or assisted on 30 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what he was supposed to be here, well, which makes it even worse and more annoying.
No, 100%, right? And there's no way it's going to end well in Brooklyn. Like, but with those two guys, two of the most miserable people in the NBA, it's not going to end well. But we even saw it in his first year with Boston. Before he went down, he was a legitimate MVP candidate, right? And so, to your point, if he's engaged this year, yikes, that team, because the depth on that team, too, it's not just those two guys. It's scary. I think that's probably the best team in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you. I mean, I think it's always tough with Giannis and Milwaukee, and even though the Celtics beat them, I feel like they match up better with them than they do with the Nets. They lose by 28 in this game. They got blown out by 24 in the preseason game the previous Friday. So far, it just looks like no contest with that team. And it's incredible how quickly Durant has come back. I think sometimes you tend to forget, or people forget about players when they're away from the game
100%,
and they're hurt.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, Durant is arguably the best player in the game.
Yep.
I mean, obviously LeBron, but LeBron is, I think, certainly not in the twilight of his career, but let's say on the downside of his prime. Durant coming back from this Achilles, and as a basketball fan, I know you know this. I mean, Achilles, they have just completely changed people's careers.
Yeah.
You look at Isaiah Thomas was never the same. Dominique Wilkins was never the same. Frankly, Kobe Bryant was never the same.
Yep.
And for Durant to come back and look like this, man, this is scary.
It's crazy. It's crazy. 617-779-0985. So we'll take your calls on the Celtics coming up. And like we said, Celtics show coming up in the noontime hour. But first, just want to quickly touch on the Patriots and where they're at at this point in the season. Chris, I think your playoff hopes.
Yeah, the path is dead. The path died. It died a ignominious death against the Miami Dolphins as they could not find the end zone. And the path was always predicated, McCone, on the Patriots being able to win out and get to 9-7. And I based it on sort of their historic dominance in the division. But let's be honest, it's a new day in the division. I think we've seen that. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills capturing their first division title since 1995. Patriots will play them on Monday. They're the new kings of the AFC East. And then Miami might make the playoffs. And you know, they have Tua Tagovailoa. I thought, given all the people that were out for Miami, they were missing their leading rusher. They were missing their top five leading receivers. And they had a rookie quarterback. And the Patriots still couldn't beat them with Belichick.
I think it's such a good point, by the way, because it wasn't just losing to Miami, but like you said, missing all those pieces on the offensive side of the football and to still lose that game to Miami in a game that you had to have if you wanted to stay alive in the postseason was pretty eye-opening to me.
Yeah, it's a great point. No, I think eye-opening is a good way to put it. And I think it sort of plays into something that, you know, I want to get into today, which is, and I wrote about this on WCVB.com, I think for a long time, the Brady-Belichick debate was one of the most fun, intriguing, passionate, theoretical debates in Boston sports history. But I feel like we finally have some empirical evidence, these two guys without each other. And I think you have to say that Brady was the more important piece. And I'll tell you this, and here's why, by the way. I think Belichick's better at his job than Brady is at his. I think Belichick's that good. But I think the issue is there's a limit on the impact that coaching can have on winning. And I think we're seeing it this season. I think that game's a pretty good example of it, that Bill just doesn't have the horses. And if you don't get in the end zone for 20 straight drives, it's actually 22 if you go back to the end of the Chargers game, but I'm not going to count that. So we'll say 20 straight drives against the Rams and Dolphins, and you can't get into the end zone for two games. I don't care who the coach is. You're not going to win. And wasn't part of the Brady-Belichick thing that Bill could basically take the average quarterback and make him Brady?
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to be honest, I feel like Belichick probably was a little overconfident in terms of what he could get away with at the quarterback position, because the biggest eye-opening thing to me, and I'm with you in terms of Belichick probably being better, as much as it pains me to say, at his job than Brady is at the quarterback position. Yeah. For an organization that for the last 20 years we've said is the smartest organization in sports and is always kind of a few steps ahead of everyone else, for this to be the solution when the greatest quarterback of all time walks out the door is unbelievable to me. I can't believe that this is where they wound up at the quarterback position. And you look at other teams that have had awesome runs, they've been able to transition a little better than this. This is just crazy. And to your point, I think it was Belichick thinking that he could get away with a lot less at the quarterback position than what is currently the situation.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the way that he felt, and look, a lot of people in this region felt that way. You know, he doesn't need Tom Brady to be able to win, to make the playoffs. And, you know, people's response is, well, you know, he has the 32nd quarterback. Okay, fine, he does, but who picked that guy?
Absolutely.
And when he was playing well in the beginning of the year, when he lit it up against Seattle, what I heard from Felger and Maz was, well, it's Bill and Josh. They're coaching him up. So if when Cam Newton played well, it was on the coaches. When he plays poorly, why isn't that on the coaches?
I go back to 2009 and the documentary, obviously, when, you know, everyone remembers when they're in the Superdome.
Yeah.
And they're getting blown out by the Saints, and Belichick turns to him and says, I can't get this team to play for me the way I want them to. But the other scene that I took away from that is towards the end of the year when he's talking about, you know, on offense, all we have is Moss and Welker, and if you take those two guys away, we're done.
Yeah.
I would love to see the internal evaluation this year, because I feel like it's honestly, hey, if you punt the ball to us, it's done. Like our offense can't move the ball, because there really is nothing on that side of the football right now. And I think they probably thought that they could get away with a quarterback that could run and add something to it. But yeah. Cam is giving you absolute, and I actually like Cam.
I do too.
I feel like he's beloved in that locker room.
And
he's giving you everything you want in terms of what he says off the field. But it is painful to watch him throw the football this year.
He has a streak of 17 straight games with one touchdown pass or less, which is, I believe, the longest in the NFL over the past 20 seasons. I mean, to your point, to go from the precision Tesla-like passing game that they had, just this work of art that's innovative and efficient, to what they have now, which is like a broken-down jalopy of a passing game, is just, I mean, it's hard to watch, man.
Oh, it's brutal.
Like they're not even fun to watch offensively. And I said this a few weeks ago, and people kind of laughed at me a little bit. And I said, the best player on this team, the best performer, is the punter. Jake Bailey's their best player. Like in 2001, when they won the Super Bowl, if you've ever read Education of a Coach, Belichick says our best player was the kicker, Adam Vinatieri. That can work. But when your best player is your punter, that's not good.
No, it's that. It's definitely not good, and it's definitely also true.
He's the MVP of the team.
No, he absolutely is. And again, to Belichick's credit and how good of a coach he is, I feel like, you know, again, he's put Cam Newton in a situation where he's doing the things that he's best at, right? It's not one of those things where he's dropping Cam Newton in and asking him to be Tom Brady in this offense. And it just shows you there's really nothing there, right? Like, there's just this offense. There aren't weapons on the offensive side of the football. The two rookie tight ends, whoops. I don't know what's going on there.
They've been injured, but they really have not been effective. I mean, they threw that ball. I was screaming at the TV when they threw that pass to Dalton Keene. Yeah. I'm like, why are you even throwing to him?
What are we doing?
I mean, he's not going to one-hand that and catch that ball.
Jakobi Meyers actually, like, if he's like your number three or four receiver, I feel like you got a pretty good offense, right?
Yeah,
but right now is the number one receiver. There's nothing there. I don't know. It's just, again, I can't believe that they moved on from the greatest quarterback of all time, and this was the plan.
By the way, just talking about Arizona State receivers, because you're segueing to N'Keal Harry, do you know that Brandon Ayuk of the 49ers, who played at Arizona State, is on pace to break Jerry Rice's 49er rookie receiving yard record? Oops.
Yeah. Not great, right? Pick the wrong one there.
Or how about Justin Jefferson? Here's the other thing, because this is something, I don't know if you've heard this, but the pushback on the tight ends not functioning has been, well, they didn't have OTAs. They didn't have like a normal training camp. You know, what do you expect? Well, then explain Justin Jefferson to me,
yeah,
or Brandon Ayuk, or CD. And I know these are wide receivers, but I mean, these are pass catchers. CD Lamb, Chase Claypool. I mean, I could go on. Those guys all dealt with the same. They're all playing in a COVID season, and they're productive.
Yeah.
I mean, painful.
All those rookies, and then I just go to the second year wide receivers. I mean, you literally draft anyone else other than N'Keal Harry, and you have a very good receiver right now. And that's just what happened. 617-779-0985. It is Gasper and Murray on this Saturday morning. Tim McCone in for Murray. We're going to get to your phone calls coming up next.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Information.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How much have you paid attention to the Patriots? They're not going to make the playoffs for the first time in 11 years. Any thoughts on that?
As far as the Patriots, you know, they have their own thing going, and I've really been focused on how my play needs to be at quarterback, the execution I need. You know, they're not really an opponent of mine. Obviously, I have a lot of friends there, a lot of great relationships, but they've been focused on what they need to do, and I've been trying to focus on what my job is.
All right, back here, Gasper Murray. That is the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, who is no longer a New England Patriot for some reason. You think it's over, huh, in terms of the evaluation?
Yeah,
Brady,
I mean,
Belichick?
I do. I just think, look, here's, again, this was all theoretical. Now we have empirical evidence. He goes to Brady, goes to a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2007. If they win today, they'll make the playoffs. They haven't won double-digit games since 2010. If they win either of their last two games, they'll do that. I just look at it and say he went to a franchise that couldn't get out of its own way, and they're going to make the playoffs, and you pull him off the Patriots, and you still have a great coach who still does a great job, and the team might finish with a losing record for the first time since 2000. They're definitely going to finish with a non-winning record. The best they can do is 8-8. To me, that tells me that the quarterback was more important. That doesn't mean that Bill's not important, but the quarterback's more important because he's the guy on the field actually making the plays. And I also would say this, McCone. How many of these other coaches, like, do you know how much people here used to laugh at Pete Carroll? Like, say he was a bad coach? How much better did he get when Russell Wilson rolled through?
It's a great point.
You know, what? Matt LaFleur doesn't have a ton of experience, but he has Aaron Rodgers. Look at Mike McCarthy, what he's doing in Dallas now that Dak Prescott's hurt and he has to start Andy Dalton. But he won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Mike Shanahan, who I know Bill Belichick has a ton of respect for, he was great with John Elway. He was, you know, decent with Jake Plummer. They went to an AFC Championship game. But in Washington, the only year he was any good was when RG3 came on the
right
scene
when he had a real
and played really well.
Yep.
So I think all these guys look better, including your coach, when they have an elite quarterback or a guy playing at a high level. So I just think that the quarterback's always going to matter more than the coach. And I think this was really the only place that subscribed to some sort of football fairy tale that it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You know, the coach will just figure it out no matter who you have. No, the quarterback's more important by definition and by job description. It doesn't matter how good the coach is.
617-779-0985. Let's get to the calls. Let's talk to Julie and Quincy. What's up, Julie? Julie. All right.
Julie.
Put her back on hold.
Okay.
And we'll go to Dan. Dan, what's up? Hey, Dan. All right, good start. Good start. All right, 617-779-0985.
It's like those Zoom interviews you have to do.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, unmute yourself, people.
Right. When I look at the Brady Belichick thing, too, I know a lot of people say that the roster is loaded in Tampa Bay,
sure,
and that's why Brady's having the success. But I also think there's a lot for him to overcome down there, too, that he's masking up, and a big reason is the coaching staff. Like, I still look at that team, and I don't think they're using Brady the right way down there.
100%. Yeah. I mean, Bruce Arians is just running his offense. And, you know, Bruce Arians is sort of notorious in NFL circles for running an offense that gets the quarterback hit. He kind of, I don't want to say doesn't care, but he doesn't really account very well for pass protection.
Yep.
I don't think that offensive line is the greatest. I think they're supposed to get Donovan Smith back, but I don't think that's a great offensive line. You see a lot of vertical routes. Like, I always go back to this. I don't know if you remember this play, McCone, but against Kansas City, he threw an interception that was tipped, and Tyrann Mathieu got it. And I went back and, like, slowed down the play, and it's obvious. Kansas City's bringing six. They're bringing six. And yet, Tampa Bay just has five guys blocking, and they have five guys out catching passes, and five guys running vertical routes. There's no, like, hot route. There's no check down. Like, there's literally nowhere for Brady to go.
Right.
And that's the way the offense is built. It's like, just stand back there and try and release it before you get creamed.
Yeah, because it's coming.
Yeah, because exactly. It's coming. Because I don't really care about pass protection.
Yeah. So when I just, you know, when people say, well, look at what Belichick has to overcome as a coach right now because of the talent that's on this team, and there just isn't a lot of it.
Which is true.
I would argue, and it is true, but I would argue that Brady's also overcoming a lot down in Tampa Bay from the coaching staff perspective, and they're getting ready to make the playoffs right now.
Well, again, so. I mean, I would also argue that they've had some of that talent for a while and still didn't make the playoffs. But here's my other thing. When people say, well, okay, Bill's overcoming the lack of talent, which is true. I mean, I think he's done a great job squeezing six wins out of this team. But who's responsible for that lack of talent?
Right. That's a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah. Why do I have to give you credit for overcoming the adversity that you created? I don't really understand that. Like, again, I think it goes to your point. Is that a little bit of arrogance on Bill's part saying, well, okay, you know, I can overcome this with coaching at this position and this position and this position? I think you start trying to do that at too many positions, it doesn't work. And I also feel like when Brady was here, frankly, a lot of times he was human spackle, and you could just cover over some of the personnel shortcomings.
Where do you think this team is right now if Brady's the starting quarterback for the Patriots?
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the playoffs. I mean, last year, they had no weapons on offense last year. Where they win 12 games?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't end well, obviously, but they still won 12 games. They would be a playoff team.
That's what I think, too, right? Like, you're not probably talking about a Super Bowl contender with Brady on this team, but again, there are some games on this schedule. I go back to that Broncos game, and that's a classic game that the Patriots win right there, right? When Drew Locke just absolutely throws up at the end of the game and just hands it to you on a silver platter. That's a game that you win. I think you win in Buffalo. So to your point, I think you kind of flip this record, and you're looking at, again, a playoff run with Brady, which to me, I'll never understand what the rush was from the Patriots' perspective to move on from Brady when they did, right? I guess if Garoppolo was still here and you were moving on with a guy that you were like, hey, this guy's going to be our next quarterback for the 10 years, that's fine. But why not continue with Brady right now for the next couple of years before you have a guy in place that you're semi-confident with? I don't get that.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it wasn't really their choice. Here's the other part that I would put on Belichick. I think that he didn't do enough to patch up and repair that relationship with Brady. I think it's you can't treat somebody the same way you treated them when they were a 23-year-old just coming into the league, and you gave the guy the chance. You can't treat him that way when he's 42 years old with a family and six Super Bowl rings. You know, I think he needed to look at Tom as a little bit more than just one of the 53, maybe sort of as a partner, a little bit more of a partner. And there was some of that, you know, not to say, I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't some of that. There was some of that, but there was a point definitely, and I know this during this offseason, where I think Tom was like, saying, okay, I had my mind made up to leave here, but I'm open to a potential return. And then he has that conversation with Bill, and it's just kind of, it's not a bad conversation from what I've heard, but it's just kind of more of the same. And he's like, this guy's never going to change, and this is going to be miserable again, and I'm moving on.
So I think that's where I was going with that too, because I ultimately know it was Brady's decision to walk out, but I feel like his hand was kind of forced with the way that Belichick acted with all that stuff. And to your point too, like, you know, when a guy wins six Super Bowls, maybe if he wants to get a massage from his guy in the stadium, you let him get a massage from his guy in the stadium. I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be in his suite next to the chafing dish he's getting a rub down. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Let's try the phones one more time. Let's go to Mike and Lynn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I'm sitting here, and I'm wondering how different this conversation would be if Tom stayed and Bill and Cam went to Tampa with all the weapons, you know, that they have. You know, what would be different about what we're talking about now? Thanks, guys.
I mean, maybe it would be different. Maybe the weapons would make some sort of difference for Cam. But I still sort of look at it and say, here's the thing. Like, I understand what Mike's question is, but at the same time, those weapons, like people are like, oh, Antonio Brown. Like, I don't even think, I've said this from the jump. I thought there was a terrible decision by Tom to force Antonio Brown on Tampa. I think he messed up their rhythm. But Godwin was there before.
Yep.
Mike Evans was there before.
Yep.
They lost O.J. Howard this year. Cameron Brate was there before. Mm-hmm. Ronald Jones has been better this year. I think a big part of that is having Brady to account for. So I don't know. I mean, it's not like they just got all these weapons this year. And from what I was hearing here, people thought Gronk was totally washed. So does Gronk count as a weapon or does he not?
Right. No, that's a good
count,
point. Too.
You know, because you were telling me he was washed in the beginning of the year. And now it's like, well, whoa, what if Belichick went to Tampa and had Gronk? You know, so, yeah, I mean, I think they'd probably have a better record than they do here. But I don't think Brady's doing well down there because of just the weapons, because they had the weapons before and Tampa couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, they're one of the NFL's flagship franchises of losing. And I think one of the things Brady's done down there, and he still has a lot of work to do in this regard, McCone, but at least he's shifted their culture a little bit away from just, let me get my stats. That's all I really care about. And we'll see what the record is at the end of the year to know we're here to be professionals and win games.
Yeah. And look, the weapons here for Cam are not good.
No.
And they have not surrounded him with enough talent. There's no question about that. But also the eye test, like, there are some times he throws the football when I gasp. I mean, it's tough to watch, right? And doesn't it look like he's also throwing a medicine ball every time he actually throws?
Sometimes,
so I just don't know, like, how – I just don't know how effective of a quarterback Cam Newton is at this point. And I don't think it's his fault. I don't think physically he can play the position at an elite level anymore.
Well, here's the other thing, right? You want to say that. And certainly, you know, you look at Brady this year – he's thrown the 32 touchdown passes, so he has four times as many touchdown passes as you do as a team. And the Patriots have eight, Cam has five, Jacoby Myers has one, and Jared Stidham has two in garbage time. But just go back to last year, if you're going to say, what's the difference with basically the same weapons last year, what did Brady do? I mean, it wasn't great, but it was better than this.
Yeah.
It's better than this, right? I mean, what was it, 26 touchdown passes?
Yeah. It was a lot more than five. I know that. Yeah.
And I can admit when I'm wrong, and I was dead wrong about Cam Newton. I thought this would work a lot better. I thought it would be easier for him to reinvent himself here. I thought it would work out for the Patriots. It hasn't worked out, I think, the way anybody thought. It's certainly not a lack of effort on Cam Newton's part, but it just hasn't worked. And the other thing I'll say is, regardless of who the quarterback was going to be for the Patriots with the weapons or lack thereof around them, I think it was always going to be a heavy lift. I thought it would be better than this, but regardless of who the quarterback is, you put these weapons around them, it's just a heavy lift for the quarterback. Brady threw 24 touchdown passes last year.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Marty, Dan, Dave, Fran, I see you guys lined up. Going to get to your phone calls on the other side of the break. Plus, Chris, I want to get your thoughts on who the quarterback should be for New England coming up over these next two games as well. Belichick seems pretty dug in. I don't know.
Unlike Bill, I will answer that question. How about that, McCone?
Perfect. We'll do it on the other side here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, Bill, would this be in the first practice of the week and you guys going through your meetings the last couple days? Were you sticking with Cam at quarterback?
Mike, we're not answering that question every day. I've been through this for a month.
totally respect that. I think just with the circumstances changing over the last, last couple days with the playoffs, that's why I asked.
How about if I let you know if we're going to make a change?
That sounds good to me. Is it partly due to competitive reasons that you don't want to let the Bills know?
Any questions on Buffalo, Mike?
Good. Thanks, Bill.
Merry Christmas, Mike.
That's my guy, Mike Reese. Hey, Bill Belichick always says, do your job. When you're asked that question, Bill, that's the media doing their job. And when he says, we're not going to answer this, we've been answering it for a month. No, you haven't answered it. Because as Mike pointed out, circumstances have changed. Few things, I work with Mike Reese at the Globe, few things get my blood boiling more than somebody being disrespectful or rude to Mike Reese.
Yeah, because he's like the nicest person in the world.
He really
is.
And
it's not like he's just throwing stuff against the wall either. You know what I mean?
And Mike handled himself. Right? There was one year when Mike and I were on the beat together, and Darrell Revis kind of went after him, and I couldn't stand it. It was on like a conference call. And I just jumped in. And I was like, well, Darrell, I think the reason that we're asking this is that Bill Belichick had basically said, oh, you know, Revis got a lot of help covering Randy Moss. And I'm like, we're just confused because Bill Belichick is saying you got a lot of help. It's not us. It's because I just couldn't stand to see Revis talking to Mike like that. Like, it was making my blood boil. So that makes my blood boil too.
I've been at Gillette and like live press conferences where you're in the room where Belichick does the thing where he stares at a reporter for like 20 seconds and it makes you super uncomfortable.
Oh, the icy Croatian glare?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That over Zoom, times. Like I'm in my living room, like listening to that. And I was like, this, I feel so uncomfortable right now while that whole thing was going
on. And the funny thing is,
totally Bill's, legitimate.
Well, quite legitimate questions. But the funny thing is, honestly, like Bill's been great this year.
100%.
He's been engaging. I think he's shown kind of a different side for most of the year. I don't know if he's more comfortable on these Zooms, but he's been really, really good. But he just has no patience for this quarterback question. And it's just kind of, I would say, like annoying from the media standpoint because it's, you know, I get it. I understand his frustration, but also we don't work for him and he can't tell us how to do our jobs. So you don't want to answer the question. That's fine. But there's a more artful way to do it, especially with a guy like Mike Reese.
What do you make of the way he's handling the quarterback situation right now? And if you were Belichick, what would you be doing?
I would be playing Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah.
Because the only thing worse than not making the playoffs, than finishing with the losing record for the first time since 2000, would be making zero progress on the quarterback front in terms of figuring out where you are for the long-term successor to Tom Brady. And I think you need to figure out what you have in Jarrett Stidham. Is he just a backup? Or is he somebody that you could go into next year and say he could compete for the job? Or is he your quarterback next year? And the only way to do that, I know they see him in practice. I understand that. But to me, the only way to do that is to give him a start in a game that means something to the other team. You know, the Bills are still jockeying for playoff position. They're in the playoffs, but they don't know what their seed's going to be. Put him out there against a real team and see how he does. Because if you put him out there against the Jets, who I know have a win now and probably are going to want to lose that game to keep the top pick with Trevor Lawrence, and he lights it up, to me, I don't think you can take anything from that.
Yeah.
So this is your one and only chance, to me, to see Jarrett Stidham in a meaningful game this season.
Giving him the full week to prepare for it, too, not just throwing him in at the second half, to your point. And, you know, the thing I don't understand either is, look, they signed Cam Newton. What, end of June, right?
Well, yeah.
The last day in
June,
I think,
or
something
the 27th.
Like that. So there was a time here where it seemed like the Patriots were content on coming in with Stidham as a potential starter. And I know that they see him in practice every day, but we also used to hear stuff like, oh, you know what, Jimmy G, not necessarily a practice player, but you throw him in the games and he lights it up. Look, Stidham wasn't fantastic against the Rams, but the offense moved pretty well when he went in there, a lot better, and it looked a lot better than what it did when Cam was in there, I felt like. So I don't know why you would be so against, to your point, giving a guy that at one point you felt relatively confident going into the year with as your starter a legitimate shot against a team, like you said, where you would actually have to prepare and they were actually going to play this game with something on the line versus a Jets game that, to your point, I think would just kind of be a throwaway at the end.
Yeah, I don't think you can really take any. I mean, if you took something from Stidham lighting up the Jets in the last game, hypothetically, if he did that, to me, McCone, that's the football equivalent of some guy being called up in Major League Baseball in September and batting 400, and you say, okay, this guy's our starting whatever next year.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, you just can't do it that way. It's not a realistic sample size. It's not enough of a sample size. And the biggest failure of this season will be not just not making the playoffs or finishing with a record that's not a winning record. It will be not advancing the ball at all towards figuring out what you're doing at quarterback, particularly when you look at the rest of the division, the way that it could break down. Josh Allen, I'm not really a believer. I wouldn't be surprised if he fell back somewhat next year, but still, the way he's playing, he's going to be a borderline Pro Bowler. I like what I've seen from Tua. He doesn't turn the ball over a ton. Miami, I think, has finally found their guy. And then the Jets, if they're able to get the number one pick, will have Trevor Lawrence. Where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you relative to that?
Right. Right. No, it's a great question. You know, Mike Reese, speaking to him, he did this emptying the notebook thing that he does on Twitter on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And he said that he kind of expects an offseason like 07, not necessarily, you know, bringing in superstars like Randy Moss or something like that, but just the internal evaluations and going out and really trying to hammer some of these biggest holes on the roster. Sure. And filling them with the cap space they have. Outside of quarterback, where else do you think that there are glaring needs on this team? I know that's a broad question because, yeah, you know, the way I look at it, really outside of a couple of positional groups, you need a major upgrade everywhere.
Two biggest positions for me would be wide receiver and linebacker.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully you get Dante Hightower back, but I think you need to upgrade your athleticism at linebacker. You could use some guys that can go sideline to sideline. Again, maybe Josh Uche can help if you play him a little bit more. I'd throw pass rusher in there, too. I'd like to see them get a guy like Ryan Kerrigan. I don't think he's a free agent. He might have a year left on that deal, but I think, you know, he'd sort of be an ideal guy who could set the edge. He's a guy who can rush the passer, too. I always felt like he'd be a good fit. Also, they've had good luck with Purdue defensive end slash outside linebacker types, Rosie Colvin, Rob Ninkovich. Then wide receiver, I just think, look, this year in the NFL, people are on pace to score more points than they ever have. The passing, the completion percentage is at its highest point ever. I just don't think you can win in this league if you can't throw the football.
No, no. And I would prefer they actually went out and identified a established wide receiver rather than trying their luck at the draft at this point as well. 617-779-0985. Let's talk to Marty in Norwood. What's up, Marty?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Marty.
All right. How you guys doing? I'm glad you're talking about Brady today.
Okay.
Because I am happy because I got my Tom Brady jersey soon as the Pats released them. He went. I went to liquor stores a couple times, and I've gotten razzed. And I said, I've got 6 Super Bowl championships. Vindicated, that's the word of the day. Vindication today. Because Tom Brady is going to be in the playoffs. I got my cooler set, and I'm so glad you're talking about something real and important today. Brady brought us 6 Super Bowl championships, and I can't wait to watch them today. I got playoffs to look forward to. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I'll be honest with you. There's no way either of these guys gets to 6 without the other. I mean, that's clear. I mean, I don't think Brady gets to 6 without Bill. And I don't think Bill gets to 6 without Brady. It was a football match made in heaven. But if you're asking me, you know, who is more important to a 2-decade dynasty, I think it's the quarterback. It's the way I felt before. And I think, again, to the caller's point, I think there's some vindication for that opinion this year. I just feel like it doesn't matter who the coach is and how great he is. Just by definition of that position, coach, there's only so much impact you can have long term over winning because you're a coach.
I do think that Belichick has something, obviously more than something, to do with the culture that's in place.
Absolutely.
In New England. But I go back to an interview that Zone Beetle did with Chris Long at the Super Bowl a few years ago. And Chris was talking about how he came to the Patriots to try to win a Super Bowl. He comes from all those losing years with the Rams, signs a 1-year deal because he wants to get a ring. They're getting blown out by the Falcons at halftime, and he walks into the locker room and he's like, this sucks. Like, it came here and we're getting not competitive. And Daron Harmon and Devin McCourty turned to him and they're like, we got Brady. Like, we're good.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Exactly.
He's going to figure it out. That type of confidence is that type of belief comes from the fact that you have a quarterback that's done it before. They're not walking into the locker room at halftime this year going, don't worry, the blitz package that Belichick is going to roll out in the second half. Like, we're good. We're good. I think a huge part of the winning culture was the fact that you had the greatest quarterback of all time on your side.
It's a great point. And to that point, the flip side of that Super Bowl, who were the two guys, the two Falcons receivers? It was Mohamed Sanu and who was he? Was it Taylor?
Yes. Yeah.
The two guys that were talking and they're like, oh man, we're killing these guys. And the other guy's like, yeah, but they still have Tom Brady.
Exactly.
It's like, so both sides are like, this game's not over because of one guy.
Right.
because of one guy.
Yep.
And that's what I'm saying. You're right. That sort of element of belief. And like, Tom didn't really even play all that well in that game. And there's no way they win that game without Matt Ryan screwing up and Dante Hightower making all these plays. But yeah, that belief factor, you're right. You just believe in that guy. And also the other thing I would say, because you brought up free agency, is this still an attractive destination for free agents without Brady? Because guys wanted to play with Brady, and to what you just said, they always believed they had a chance to win a Super Bowl with Brady. So now you look, you have Belichick there, greatest coach of all time, clearly a winner, but the team's coming off a season that's not going to be a winning season. And do people look at it and say, I don't want to go through this experience, which is notorious across the league as being, you know, challenging. It's a challenging workplace, which is not for everyone. Do I want to go through that to be 7-9, 8-8, 9-7? When maybe I would have gone through that when Brady was there, and I feel like we're going to go 12-4, 13-3, and be in the at least be in the final four.
Yeah, absolutely. 617-779-0985. Sneak in one more call here before the break. Let's talk to Dan in Rhode Island. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Tim, my apologies. I can only think of you as McBone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I get it a lot. Don't worry about it. Thanks, Maz. I appreciate that.
It's McBone. You're everywhere lately. hey, real quick, I know I'm swimming upstream in this, but I know I'm not going to win this argument, but I want to just get you guys to think in real time of this and not what you know now, okay?
Sure.
In 2017, okay, and I'm going to change the Maz anthem from the guy to a guy.
Okay.
Yep. It's the hardest thing to do in sports. We all know that.
Yep.
Everyone says, this ain't going to break. Well, go find another guy. You know, it's not that simple. You know, they could have drafted four more quarterbacks in the last 3 years and they could all stink. The point is that at that point in time, the owner, everyone is talking about Belichick screwed it up. No, the owner pulled the plug. Okay.
Fair point.
Now, don't forget about we had the Super Bowl. I get it. The injury risk. I get it.
Yep.
They had a succession plan. And for Belichick to be getting taken to the woodshed that he is right now is just the most unfair thing I've ever seen. And you talk about other organizations, they all had the guts to do it. And no one talks about Peyton Manning and the Colts. They had the guts to do it.
They were terrible,
too.
Yeah. But can one question, though? Can I ask you one? And yep. you may not have felt this way. And your point about Jimmy G, I think, is valid and a very good one. But there were people, including on this station, Felger and Maz, who really felt like if you just gave Bill an average sort of quarterback, like if you just gave him, you know, Andy Dalton or Brian Hoyer, like that they could still win 10-11 games and he would be fine. Did you feel that way? Because when you talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, he obviously went somewhere else. They made it to a Super Bowl. I feel one way about that. Yeah. I didn't think he was great. But, you know, he's a halfway decent quarterback. So what's the level of quarterback Bill needs? Well, because the narrative has been he doesn't need, like, he can take Brian Hoyer and he win 12 games.
Well, this is the part that you miss to talk about in real timing, and this is what I go back to.
Okay.
All we knew at the time was the first half of the Miami game. Remember? That's what we saw.
Sure.
And yes, he got hurt. Yep. But he was able to, you know, they won with him. There was a ton of potential there at that time.
But I'm just saying someone else won with him, too. So he's I can't believe I'm going to say this. He's a good quarterback. So needing a good quarterback to win makes Bill like every other coach.
Right.
Every coach needs a good quarterback to win. The difference with this guy, it's supposed to be that he can take anybody and win.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
He's the level of coach that he is at, you just need a mediocre quarterback that's not going to be, I guess, what Cam Newton's been this year, and you're going to win,
I mean,
like you said.
You know, no one can
games.
Sort of win with Cam, but that's my question to people. Yeah. Like, he brought up a good point. He's right about Jimmy G. But you got to tell me, like, give me a name. Like, if he had Jared Goff, do you think they're winning 12 or 13 games? Because I don't.
No, not this year. Absolutely.
But that's what the narrative, and I'm going to take it a step further. That's what the myth was. It was a myth that he can. So you tell me, oh, okay, Jimmy G's good. Yeah, he is good. And another coach won with him because he's good. So, okay, coaches win with good quarterbacks. What are we doing?
No, and I think
coaches win with good quarterbacks. Okay, yes, that's a fact.
Well, I think you laid it out perfectly, too, earlier in the show, too, when you named all of those coaches that won Super Bowls and were highly regarded with elite quarterbacks, and then when they didn't have that elite quarterback anymore, all of a sudden the shine came off of that coach.
We've seen Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. He had Troy Aikman and a loaded team. But I'm just telling you, you can have a buffoon as a coach and like a good quarterback, and you can win. I don't think you can have a buffoon as a quarterback and a great coach and win.
I think it's that simple. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. See you guys lined up. We're going to get to your phone calls in just a few minutes. And then we will transition to the Celtics. The Celtics show coming up at noon. Tough day yesterday for the Boston Celtics. We'll get into that. And also the James Harden rumors, because all of a sudden Boston on the list for Harden. So we'll see. We'll get Chris Gasper's thoughts on that as well. It is Gasper and Murray. Tim McCone in for Murray on this Saturday.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Back here, Gasper, Murray, Tim McCone in for Murray. You do have Gasper, though. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. I think I just said that number right. Part of me thinks I gave out about 15 digits there, but we will get to your calls right now. Try to squeeze some of these in before we
do it.
Switch gears to the Celtics show coming up here at noon. Let's talk to Lee in Franklin. What's up, Lee?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Lee.
I think the Patriots really missed an opportunity to not only emerge as the class team of the NFL of the last.
Yeah, that's on me. I thought he dropped. We will go to Mike in Nashua. Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to talk to you about one guy who you haven't mentioned that I would say has been exposed the most this season, and that's Josh McDaniels. This guy is in control of the offense. Bill's been doing his job all season. He's been in control of the defense and special teams. And I wouldn't say the defense has looked great, but they're not that bad. In terms of the offense, this guy, week one, I'll give him, week one, the offense looked good because he was using the mobile quarterback to his advantage. But since then, he's been trying to run the offense using Brady's format. And he showed it before when he was working at the Broncos with Tim Tebow that he can't coach a mobile quarterback, and he's exposing it again. And I don't think it's just for Cam Newton. I think that the past few years he's really fallen off too with Brady. Brady, he's always been his sweet spot has always been 7 to 8 yards passing. In the past 2-3 seasons, he's been throwing around 50 to 20 yards on second down, and it's just annoyed me the past two seasons. And to see Bill Belichick getting all the heat for Cam Newton in the offense this season, I just think it's disgusting.
Well, who picked the quarterback, though? Josh didn't pick the quarterback. Who picked the quarterback?
Bill Belichick picked the quarterback.
So why shouldn't he get any heat for picking that quarterback? And I would say Josh has had success with Kyle Orton and Matt Cassel.
Who else are you going to pick in free agency?
Well, you could have had
well suited for it.
You could have had Stidham. You could have been more proactive and brought in someone like Marcus Mariota. I mean, he made the choice. The choices were his, right? And I also think I'm not saying Josh doesn't deserve criticism, but to me, you take it too far when it's like, oh, it's disgusting to see Bill being criticized. The buck stops with Bill. He's gotten the credit, and now you have to absorb some of the blame. And you can't convince me that the way that they play on offense, that Bill doesn't have something to do with that, because I've seen it before covering the team in terms of trying to shorten the games. They did it in 2008 with Cassel. There's a reason they run the football the way they do. There's a reason their offensive game plans are predicated on doing some of the things they do. And if you don't like that stuff now, well, were you complaining in 2018 when Josh McDaniels switched it on the fly to we're going to be more of a run-heavy team and they ended up winning the Super Bowl Tom Brady?
Look, I look at it, and obviously, I mean, you can question some of the play calling. I feel like you can do that with any offensive coordinator. But for the weapons that they have and the quarterback that they have, I actually really don't have that many complaints with Josh McDaniels and what he's done this year. Been given, I think you're trying to play to those players' strengths, which is really all you can do.
Yep.
The problem is there just isn't a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball.
I would totally agree. I mean, look, you can certainly criticize Josh, and I did agree with this point about I do think they haven't changed the offense enough for Cam. I think he's right on that. But the idea that sort of like, oh, it's all on Josh and, you know, Bill shouldn't get any of the blame for the offense. Like, how many times have we said what makes Bill Belichick special is that he can affect all three phases, offense, defense, special teams, right?
Yeah, no, it's a fair
point.
Except
for when they lose. Then he's only responsible for the defense and the special teams. I get it.
That's a pretty good gig if you can get it. All right, it is Gasper and Murray on this Saturday. Going to step aside, get Hub headlines. When we come back, Sports Hub Celtics show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.